Welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Coffee Hour on Decaf Week. Because there's caffeine in the studio now. Chaplain Craig Mueller, director of LCMS Ministry, the Armed Forces, in studio this morning. Good morning. How are you, Chaplain?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
You have your coffee. What's your favorite brew in the studio this morning?
Whatever they're serving in the cafeteria. It reminds me of my Navy coffee. It's just thick and strong, and that's just the way I like it.
And what's your mug that you drink your coffee out of there?
Oh, failure is not an option. Our family took a trip down to Houston, and we stopped by the NASA Space Center. And so it's a great, one of my favorite quotes, you know, from that movie. So
excellent. Excellent. Well, thanks for caffeinating the studio for us this morning.
Sure. I'm sorry. I did not know.
No, that's all right. No, it's Sarah's on vacation this week, so not as much coffee in the studio. I think she's out enjoying riding on her bike and a well-deserved vacation.
Oh, so, sure. Yeah.
And I do drink coffee from time to time, but I can't do much coffee. I mean, much caffeine or, I wouldn't get anything done because I couldn't focus. But speaking of focusing, let's talk about what we're here to talk about this morning. Operation Barnabas. Operation Barnabas is one of the many aspects of Ministry of the Armed Forces. And I know that you've been serving a Ministry of the Armed Forces for some time now. Tell us a little bit about what you know about Operation Barnabas and who Operation Barnabas serves.
Sure. Operation Barnabas is a project that's been around probably since about 2007. But it really is an outreach to our military-connected people. We use the word veterans, but we also want to include family members. When you think of veteran, you just think of those who are officially served. But Operation Barnabas wants to reach out to the families, too. So you may have an aunt, an uncle, a grandma, a grandpa that doesn't have an official relationship, but they are definitely touched whenever a veteran is going through some kind of difficult time or issue. So we want to reach out to all the caregivers, the military-connected families, as well as to the veteran themselves.
What would you say are the seen and unseen needs of our veterans, of those returning?
That's a great question. The seen, I think, is ones that we see a lot of organizations already out there. We have the Wounded Warrior Project and all kinds of other groups. Even the homelessness, there's a lot of people that really focus on groups that focus on the homelessness of veterans. They're wounds that you can see. They're having, whether it's an amputee or some kind of issue going on. There are a lot of organizations out there that support that. But the unseen is what's coming on now strongly, I think, and you can even hear it from some of the researchers about called moral injury or spiritual injury. Some people are debating it, but what the bottom line is, it's the unseen. It's part of post-traumatic stress, but not really. There's a big difference. And again, I'm not the certified expert who can define that because I'm not a licensed counselor. But what we see is people basically having a hard time adjusting back to civilian life. And for some, it's because of, you know, the experience they had in combat. Others, it's just, they had a job in the military. They had meaning and purpose in life.
Structure,
exactly. And now they're back in civilian life, and they're trying to find their way. What's their niche? Mm-hmm. What's their meaning and purpose in life? And I think that's an important part because the statistic of suicides among veterans is still way high. It's still, I think it's 20 a day still is what last I read that a veteran. So there's a lot of hurting people. Another thing interesting about that too, Andy, at this conference that we just had in March, we had the suicidologist specialist who studies all this say that, and most of them are a lot older. It's almost over age 50 who are committing the suicide. It's not the young guys that most people think are coming back from Iraq, Afghanistan, and you know they can't find something to do or whatever, and find hopelessness and helplessness and end up hurting themselves. But it's really those, I think, that have retired, had another career, found their way, and now they're starting to lose again a sense and purpose in life. And the whole part of Operation Barnabas is to make awareness to our congregations that that's a target audience in your own church and in your community where you can intentionally reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to help heal and show these people that there is meaning and purpose in life through Jesus Christ.
Let's explore that a little more. What is unique about the way that the church can meet these unseen and unseen needs of our veterans? What's unique about how the church can serve them?
Well, what's unique about it is the church lives with them. It's in their community. So every church is different. Every community is different. So if you're in a rural church, there's still a lot of stuff you can do for veterans in your community. Just kind of do a demographic study and see what are the veterans that you can do. So there are mercy issues. I mean, there are those who need a job, those who are probably need just someone to help them walk through the VA system because it's such a big bureaucracy. So connecting them with a veteran service organization that can help them, just making those kind of connections is huge. But the big part that our congregations, what we do through Operation Barnabas is we don't want to leave them without the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're referring them to a VA, we want it to be, I call it a warm handoff, where if they come to your church or you run into them, whatever, and you're a member of St. John's Lutheran Church, and you say, oh, I know someone who can help you go through the VA process, you take them there and keep that relationship and then able use that to witness to them and to let them know that, hey, I'm not just going to call an 800 number. Mm-hmm. Here it is. And that's the end of it. And so I think that's the big issue, is just starting with relationships, reaching out to the veterans. In fact, I have a friend of mine who has a church here in St. Louis who started a homeless supper, you know, basically to open their fellowship hall to some of the homeless. So they just started one day a week. They hope to expand it. And he invited me when I first got here, and I said, oh, I'd love to. And I said, watch this. So I got there real early and put on my Navy retired hat, and I sat at a table by myself. And as the homeless came in, next thing I know, I had at least 8 or 9 homeless veterans sitting right by me because they saw the hat. And so the next thing you know, we're talking about, where did you serve? And it just cuts through so much. And so Operation Barnabas wants us to figure out veterans in your congregations or communities, you can cut through so much and already have a relationship that you get what they're from.
Because you have something in common, yeah.
Exactly. And then just a hat. Because there's so much pride in their service, you know. So there's, sure, a lot of bantering, you know, the Army gal harassed me a little bit, or the Marine, because I had a Navy hat. But it opens all kinds of doors. But I think that what we really want to do with Operation Barnabas with our training and resources is to really help people feel confident in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I'm glad you mentioned training and resources. What can I do? I'm not a veteran, but what can I do? I'm sure there are lots of people like me who, you know, the guy in the pew or from the pew or from the front porch. What can I do to be of service? Maybe something simple or maybe something complex to serve our veterans, those who are returning.
Sure. You know, you don't have to be a veteran, obviously, as you just mentioned. It's just letting the veteran that you're talking to tell their story, and that you honor and respect what they did in their vocation. That's already half of it, because they're a little sensitive depending on what era, if they're a Korean veteran or Vietnam, and, mm-hmm, you know, as we know in our history, some were treated a lot worse than they are now. And just that, say thank you for your service, well, you really mean it. But I think the biggest thing is just to understand that they had a purpose and a meaning in the military, and now how can I relate to that in life now? How can I help them, whether it's, you know, invite them to a Bible study or to come to church with me, that there's other ways they can serve their community. I mean, they're all about leadership and service. But I think the other thing, if anybody out there, especially listening today, our office would be glad to give any kind of resource and help to empower them to do it. And one thing that we are working on, Andy, is the Everyone His Witness. We're actually working on a segment just for us, for veterans. And so that'll be very helpful. What a great partnership with that great program that hopefully in the near future anybody can, mm-hmm, watch that video series. And it's such a great program. And that'll be a separate session on if you want to do some work with veterans. And that'll be huge for that.
I'm glad you said that. That was something that came to mind as you were talking about training and being prepared to serve our neighbor. Everyone is Witness. Great resource for equipping us, particularly as you were talking about listening. Everyone is Witness really focuses on listening, especially in the beginning, listening so that you can learn more about your friend, your new friend, this neighbor, veteran, whoever, in order to have further conversations that may provide some opportunities to speak the gospel.
Absolutely. That is so critical of active listening with to each other.
We only have a few seconds left. How do we find out more about Operation Barnabas and the resources available?
Oh, please contact us at 314-996-1346. That's our number to my office, Ministry of the Armed Forces. And of course, we're on the LCMS website. Feel free to look around. There's all kinds of resources hung there. But thank you. And I wanted to also greet all the veterans who are listening, and thank you for your service.
Indeed. Thank you, veterans, for your service. Chaplain Miller, thanks so much for being our guest and all the work you do for Ministry of the Armed Forces.
Thank you very much, Andy. Appreciate it.
That does it for the coffee hour. A little more decaf tomorrow. One more. And maybe Monday, too. But more coffee hour coming up tomorrow, Friday the 13th. What do we have in store? Got to stick around and find out tomorrow. You're listening to KFUO, the messenger of good news. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.